there is that.
We sat there in silence for some time as the shadows of twilight deepened and the room grew dark. At last I said, "You know, it was Alex who turned me on to science, to planetary astronomy and all that."
"Really?"
I could barely make out her face in the shadows. "Yes, he was 10 years older than me. As far back as I can remember, whatever he did, I wanted to do."
"Including scientific exploration?"
Nodding, I remembered. "He started showing me where he'd been on Mars. I did virtual reality trips with him. It was fascinating. A different world. So much to see, so much to discover." Gwyneth sat there beside me in the dark and let me babble on. At last I said, "It's not the money. It's not. I'm going to Venus to find my brother. I'm going for Alex." She kissed me lightly on the cheek and whispered,
"Of course you are, Van."
Was it really true? Were either one of us speaking the truth? I wanted it to be true. With a pang of guilt, I recognized that I needed it to be true. Then she said,
"About the flat in Barcelona."
"What about it?" I asked. She hesitated a long moment.
"Well, it's only... You see, if you don't come back from your expedition, I have no legal right to remain there. Your father will boot me out, won't he? Or his lawyers will?"
"No," I thought. "Father wouldn't evict you. He'd take one good look at those promising eyes and lithe figure and take you for himself." But I didn't tell her that. Instead, I said, "I'm having a will drawn up. The apartment will be my bequest to you. Will that be sufficient?" She kissed me again, this time on the lips. We never spoke about love, or gratitude either, but we understood each other perfectly well. Liftoff. Rodriguez was almost pleading with me.
"Look, Mr. Humphreys, you've got to make a decision. Who the shit's going to be in command of this mission?"
It startled me to hear him use even a minor profanity. He's really upset about this, I realized. The expression on his face showed how distressed he felt. He looked almost desperate. We were in my office at the launch complex on Tarawa. A clipper ship was being serviced out on its pad, scheduled to lift us into orbit in an hour. Rodriguez sat across the desk from me, tension in every line of his body. My desk chair was supposed to be stress-free, the very latest design. Soft pseudo-leather padding, adjustable headrest, fully reclinable. Heat and massage units built in. But stress isn't merely physical, and I was feeling the muscles and tendons of my neck and shoulders tightening up like torture racks. Rodriguez was already in his light tan flight coveralls ready to go, but he demanded my decision before we lifted off. "It's her or me," he said with real bitterness in his voice. "One of us is named captain and the other goes home."
"Which one will it be?"
I'd been putting off the decision for months, avoiding both Rodriguez and Duchamp as much as possible. I had the perfect excuse. I was cramming as much planetary astronomy into my brain as I could. Mickey had decided that if she couldn't come along to Venus, then I would have to be her surrogate. I would handle the seismic probes and other sensors that we would carry aboard Hesperus, while she directed my work from California. All through those months of preparation, Desiree Duchamp had been acting as if there was no possible doubt that she was captain of the Hesperus. She lorded it over the other crew members and treated Rodriguez as if he were her assistant. Rodriguez was entirely right. I couldn't put off this decision any longer. Before I could say a word, though, the door from the corridor swung open and Duchamp stepped in, uninvited. She wore the same dun-colored flight coveralls as Rodriguez, but on her they looked crisper, sharper, almost like a military uniform.
"You're both here. Good," she said.
Rodriguez shot to his feet.
"It's just as well you're here, Dee. We've got to..."
Duchamp pointed a long manicured finger at him like a pistol.
"Tommy, I don't mind you speaking informally to me in front of the owner, but don't you ever call me Dee or anything else except Captain Duchamp in front of the crew."
"Who says you're the captain?" Rodriguez snapped.
"The man who's paying for this expedition, that's who."
"I take my orders from Mr. Humphreys here."
A thin smile curved her lips.
"I take my orders from Mr. Humphreys there."
She gestured toward the ceiling. My father was still living at Cellini City. They both turned toward me. I got slowly to my feet, wondering which way to go. Decide, I railed at myself. Make a decision and stick to it.
If you look at your incoming mail, Deschamps said coldly, you'll see that he will get the banks to cut off all funding for this expedition if I'm not the captain. You'll have to go home and lose the prize money.
My ass he will, Rodriguez growled.
Turning back to me, close enough almost to touch noses, he said earnestly,
let your father threaten all he wants. Once we're in orbit, he can't touch us. Go on to Venus. Carry out the mission and you won't need his frigging money. When we get back home, you'll be a hero, a celebrity. Without your old man.
Deschamps countered. Do you think for one instant that the crew will undertake the risks of this mission knowing that their pay has been cut off? She laughed harshly.
You'll never get off the ground.
I felt nausea welling up in me. I was confused, torn in a dozen different directions. I clasped my hands to my head and shouted at them.
Why can't you two work something out between yourselves? Why do you have to put me in the middle of this?
Because you're the owner, Duchamp said.
At the same time, Rodriguez said,
you're the head of the expedition.
Whether you like it or not, Duchamp went on, you're in charge here. It's your responsibility. You're the one who has to make the decision.
That's not true, I thought. My father's still in charge. He's making the real decisions. I'm just his puppet, dancing at the ends of his strings. He's forcing me to decide the way he wants me to.
Well, Rodriguez demanded, what's it going to be?
I let my hands drop to my sides. My stomach was churning. My knees felt rubbery. She's right, I heard myself say. Totally miserable, I admitted. If my father cuts off the money, the crew won't even get aboard the clipper ship out there.
Rodriguez began, but I could...
No, I cut him off. I felt like sobbing, but I held myself together as best I could. She's got to be captain. I can't risk destroying this mission. My hands are tied.
Duchamp allowed herself a smug smile.
Thank you, she said,
then headed for the door.
As she reached for the knob, she turned halfway and said, by the way, there's been a crew change. Nunnally is out. I've put a biologist in her place.
She opened the door and left my office. I just stood there, relieved that the decision had finally been made, worried about how Rodriguez would react, and stunned about Duchamp adding a biologist in place of our astronomer. A biologist? What for? Nothing could possibly be living on Venus.
Rodriguez snapped me back to reality.
Okay, that's that.
His fists were clenched at his sides. He looked as if he wanted to hit somebody, maybe me.
Don't quit, I said. Please take the second-in-command position, please.
He was fuming, that was clear to see.
I'll double your pay, I said.
He was staring grimly at the closed door, I realized.
I'll add a bonus out of my own money. Please don't quit on me, I need you.
Slowly, Rodriguez turned back toward me.
The bitch knows I couldn't turn down the chance to go to Venus. She knows I'll go no matter what rank you give me. She was counting on that.
Then you'll go? I asked, almost breathless.
A second in command?
I'll go, he said bitterly.
Even with her as captain. I can't turn my back on this. It's going to be an experience money can't buy.
I sank back gratefully into my stress-free chair.
Thanks, Tom, I said.
Thanks.
He grinned mirthlessly. But I'll still take that doubled pay, boss. And a bonus. I'll swallow her crap and be your second in command. But I want the money you promised.
I nodded, feeling weak, and he left the office. An experience money can't buy. That's what Rodriguez had said.
But he'll take the money just the same.
Why not?
Money is the universal lubricant. You need money to buy everything you want, every single thing.
And as long as my father's money is paying for this expedition, I thought, he'll be making all the real decisions. Meanwhile, I couldn't find any information about what Lars Fuchs was up to. Not even my father could. The man seemed to have disappeared entirely. He's up to something, my father warned time and again in his messages to me. I asked Father's image on my screen, but what can he do if he's all the way out there in the belt?
I wouldn't be surprised if he's left the belt and is heading for Venus, my father replied sourly. His fellow rock rats are covering up for him.
keeping silent no matter how much pressure my people put on them.